Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life. Share your prayer requests or pray for others. Read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
Hey, I've titled my message this morning, Press On. Press On. You know, I honestly believe that God has called us to engage in life's greatest adventure. I'm not sure about you, but I honestly believe with all my heart that my absolute best life is found in and through a relationship with Jesus. Does anyone agree with that this morning? I believe God has called us to the greatest adventure on the face of earth, and that's walking a personal relationship lived and for Jesus. You know, I think it's a life that's full of new places, new people, full of adventure. Who loves adventure? Anyone at all? Does anyone like holidays? There we go. Now you're waking up. We love adventure. I think it's a life that's, as Jesus followers, we believe that the future is better than our past. Is anyone with me this morning? I might get a little bit excited, so you can either come with me or go to sleep. I believe with all my heart that my future days are better than the days that I've lived already. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be tough times, but I believe with all my heart when God said He has the best for me, He meant that He has the best for me. You know, I think it's absolutely crucial as followers of Jesus, we have an understanding that earth is not our home. Earth is not my home. Oh, you're thinking, oh, what's a yon about? I got to tell you, I'm a little bit weird. I don't fit in here. Now, bear with me, I'm not saying within context of the local body, but what I am saying is I was never really, really designed to fit in the world that I live in. Because God called me and He's called you to stand out, not to fit in. I believe with all my heart that earth is not my home. I remember when I was 15 years of age, the first time I ever kind of grasped this concept. I have a little Bible that's incredibly dear to me. And I've had that. It was kind of my first Bible that came alive to me. Has all my personal scribble and, you know, colouring in it and all of those things. And right in the front of it is written that statement, earth is not my home. What do I mean by that? Well, I believe that earth is not our final destination. Rather, it's just part of the journey to the final destination, a place called eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty keen to get to eternity. I'm not done here yet. I'm not going anywhere that I'm aware of. But I can't wait to get to heaven. I believe that this is not our final destination. We're just passing through. You know, John 10:10 says this, I have come, Jesus' words, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Why don't you turn to your neighbor this morning on your left and say, it's time to press on. It's time to press on. I'm going to move pretty quick this morning, so let's get stuck into this. Let me give you an illustration today to help us get our head around this. I love to bushwalk. I love to be surrounded by God's amazingly beautiful creation. Who knows, this is an incredible place in which we live, Tasmania. I love that photo. If you don't know where that is, you need to move interstate. No, I'm kidding. Such a beautiful place that we live in. Cradle Mountain, stunning. I love to bushwalk. One of the greatest things I think about bushwalking is, in fact, not the walking, but it's the end of the day where you stop walking and you set up camp. Oh, what a beautiful sight that is. You've picked out your spot. You've found the location. You've spent the last 6 to 8 hours hiking with a huge pack on your back, and your boots are starting to rub and you're starting to get blisters, and you've spent the whole day looking forward to getting to camp. You find that flat spot to put your tent, your swag, whatever, and you set up camp. In the circle of friends that I've bushwalked with, there's a number one rule when you find camp. Number one rule is this: not to set up the tent, but to get out the billy and get the billy boiling while you set up camp. There is this beautiful little thing that you wouldn't eat anywhere else but out in the wilderness, and it's called a cup of soup. Don't be judging me. You get to camp, and there's nothing better than at the end of a long day's slog, a cup of soup. You see, I love hiking, I love camping, I love the bushwalk. I particularly love overnight trips. I love to set up. I love boiling the billy. And oh my, don't I love to put my feet up at the end of a long day. Find a comfortable rock, if there's such a thing. Recline back. Put my feet up. But what's interesting is there's something about camping that is true and that is almost painful when we realize the truth of it and accept it. I don't know if you've ever worked this out, but camping, adventure, holidays, whatever, but camping, this experience is only temporary. It's not forever. I tell you what, I've done some longer walks by about 10 nights. You're pretty keen to get out of one of those and into your bed at home. It's temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:18, this is Paul. Paul writing, he says this. Verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. See, what we see here this morning is temporary, right? Even today, the end of the day, we'll pack up, we'll go on our way, because what we see is temporary. Why don't you turn to the neighbor on your right and say, it's time to press on. It's time to press on. You know, here's the kicker. When it comes to pressing on, too many of us get way too comfortable at camp. And in doing so, we completely fail to press on, settling for far less than that which our Heavenly Father has prepared for us. When we get stuck at camp, we miss the adventure that is ahead of us. We begin to do things like this when we settle at camp. We begin to say things like, I'm not real sure about this. I know my surrounds. If we move on, what if? What dangerous words. What if? I don't know. Reality is, God's called us to a life where we should exercise our faith in Jesus. And anytime we exercise our faith in Jesus, it always, always, always propels us forward. It causes us to press on into all that God has prepared for us. Are you with me this morning? It's time to press on. I want to give you four keys today to pressing on. Is that okay? Are you with me? Four keys to pressing on. Our key text this morning is Philippians chapter 3. If you're taking notes, write it down. Grab your Bibles out. Grab your phone out. If you've got a Bible on there, follow along with us this morning. It's up on the screen. Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14 reads this. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. These are some great verses here. Three verses, outstanding advice. Let me give you key number one this morning to pressing on. Key number one to pressing on is we have to take a humble evaluation. If we want to press on, we need to take a humble evaluation. See, Paul writes here in verse 12, he says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal. Paul had the ability to recognize that he didn't have it all together. I am where I am. I don't know, but I think it's quite refreshing to stop and think who the writer of these words really is. You know, if anyone had reason to brag about their accomplishments, I think Paul fits the bill. You see, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is the same guy who met the Lord on the Damascus Road, preached across the whole Eastern Mediterranean region, was an apostle called by God, written so many letters inspired by the Holy Spirit, which we hold in our hand today. After all that he endured, interesting to note that Paul was quick to take a humble evaluation. Reality is, in life, is that we have to have a moment where we come to grips with where we are. We have to be able to have a hard conversation with ourselves and say, this is where I am. No mask. No, this is where I'd like to be, but this is where I am. See, you must evaluate where you are. We've got to stop and evaluate where we are. Who's ever been in a big shopping center? I mean a big, I'm not talking about Kmart in Devonport. I'm talking about a real shopping center, multi-level. And you get in that thing and you go, I know there's a shop in here I want to visit and that's where the shop is, but right now I've gone around here so many times looking for it, I have no idea where I am. And you walk up to that glorious big stand in the middle of the shopping center with a whole layout plan of the shopping center. And you get to that map, and when you get to that map, you look for something that looks like this, a little red arrow that says, you are here. Who knows, without that sign, if you don't know where you are, that map is absolutely useless to you. You may as well just, I don't know, play pin the tail on the donkey with that thing. But the map is useless unless you can identify where you are. You know, we got to do exactly the same in life. We've got to have a moment where we say, this is where I am. Let me be really straight with you this morning. You know, it's hard to admit things like my marriage is in trouble. It's hard to admit that your career is on the rocks. It's tough to be able to say my dreams have been smashed. It's hard to admit that your children are doing it tough. It's hard to admit that you have a problem with alcohol. It's hard to admit that deep down within yourself you have a critical spirit. And it's hard to admit that sometimes you just don't even know why, but filled with anger. See, reality is there's no getting better until you're able to say, this is where I am. See, you can't fix what you will not recognize. this is where I am. We got to be able to say, this is where I am. However, there is good news this morning that through a relationship with Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, this might be where I am, but it's not where I'm going to stay. Because I'm a work in progress. Is there anyone here who is a work in progress this morning? You know, Paul said in verse 13, with great humility, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Essentially, Paul's saying, I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived. I haven't made it. I'm a work in progress. I, Paul, the great apostle, I, Paul, am pressing on. Are you with me this morning? My second point this morning is this. Key number two. When it comes to pressing on, we have to have a Jesus aspiration. What do I mean about that? A Jesus aspiration. Isn't it funny when we think about when we were little children, there were things, there were people that we aspired to be like. You should have seen me when I was about 7 years of age with my little Batman suit. I was going to be the next Batman, I tell you. I had him covered. As children, we understand what it is to aspire to be like something, to be like someone. But it seems the older we get, we kind of just fall into habits and go, well, this is who I am. I'm just me. And we stop aspiring to be like the people that we look up to. Verse 12 says this, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Just pause for a moment. Read those six words. Christ Jesus took hold of me. You know, the whole Christian walk, the whole Christian life can be found, I think, in those six words. Let me break it down a little bit. Number one, Jesus found me. Who's glad about that today? Number two, Jesus saved me. Number three, Jesus has a purpose for my life. Jesus found me, Jesus saved me, and Jesus has a purpose for my life. I've got to tell you, church, we must have a Jesus aspiration. See, the supreme purpose for my life is to discover God's purpose for me. But we do something and we're very, very good at it. We start beating ourselves up, don't we? We beat ourselves up. We speak things over our own lives. You may not physically lay into yourself, but verbally we start beating ourselves up. You know, a Jesus aspiration, we got to understand that it takes a lifetime to achieve. To be like Christ is going to take your whole life. So don't beat yourself up. It involves hard work and concentration. It's not easy trying to live a life that reflects Jesus. Can anyone attest to that today? Saying no to sin is not always easy. It's a tough walk. Having a Jesus aspiration leads to progressive personal growth. Having a Jesus aspiration develops the character of Jesus in me. I love being able to look back and saying, you know what? I'm not the person I was 5 years ago because Jesus has changed me. It's vital that as we press on, we have a Jesus aspiration. Key number three this morning, I'm going to move real quick, is we got to have a strong determination. Are there any parents here this morning with determined children? I'm sitting on my hand. Determined children. We got to have a strong determination. Paul says in verse 13, but one thing I do, get this, one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead. I'll give you a life hack this morning. A life hack that essentially applies to anyone, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. It's this. You may be like me and really wrestle with this one. But reality is, to excel in any given area of life, a person must be able to say, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Not these 20 things I attempt to juggle. You see, greatness in any arena always comes to those who can say, just like the Apostle Paul, this one thing I do. You can think about it in, you know, career sense. You can think about it as far as a sporting sense. Really doesn't matter. But anyone who excels at what they do is because they have something of a singular focus. This one thing I do. You might be like me and perhaps would rather say things like, the many things I do. I often wonder if perhaps it'd be good for us to look in the mirror each morning and say things like this. Do you actually know what you're doing today? Look yourself in the eyes and be able to say, do you actually know what you're setting out to do today? What is my one thing today? What is it? What is my one thing today that God has placed in front of me? Am I determined? Am I going to see this thing through no matter what happens? Am I determined? I reckon most of us are pretty good at making lists. Who keeps a list on their refrigerator? Who keeps notes and lists in their mobile phone? Who sets umpteen reminders in their mobile phone? We're great at keeping lists. You know, reality is you can make a list as long as your arm and trick yourself into thinking that a list equals your life. Trick yourself into thinking, as long as I've got a list, I've got purpose. I've got a list and I've got purpose. Can I tell you that's not entirely true this morning? Because a list without a purpose is just a list. And it'll sure keep you busy. Or at very best, it'll keep you looking busy. But what good is a list without a purpose, without determination, without focus? You know, Paul clarifies his purpose with two key phrases. Let me give them to you this morning. Number one, he says this, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. You know, it's kind of like a car mirror. It was once said, why do you think that the little revision mirror in the middle of your front windscreen is only the size that it is? Because quite simply, when you're driving a car, your singular focus really should be looking forward to where you're going. A small reference from where you've come from is helpful. Don't get me wrong. But your priority is to look forward at where you are going. Forgetting what is behind, forgetting things like our worries, our fears, our failures, our victories, our defeats. You know, football coaches are great for cliches, aren't they? Sport coaches are great for cliches. They say things like this. Well, you know, it was a good game. We've had a good season. But last year means nothing. Last year means nothing. You know, in some aspects, there is truth to that. Because essentially, whether we win or whether we lost last year, whether we won the grand final last year, doesn't mean anything. Whatever happened in the past. Now, I'm not dismissing what has happened to you in your past or what that looks like. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that when we get a singular focus, when we become determined to look forward and not behind, doesn't have the weight, doesn't hold us back, doesn't keep us from what God has for us. We got to grab onto the future. The second thing Paul says is this. He's straining toward what is ahead. I love these words. When the famed missionary, Dr. David Livingstone, returned from Africa to England, he was asked this question. Where are you ready to go next? You can see what he said. I'm ready to go anywhere, he replied, provided it be forward. What a great quote. I really believe that this has to be the attitude of every believer. Every believer needs a strong determination that no matter what, I'm moving forward, not on my terms, but according to the plans and purposes of God. Someone once prayed a great prayer, Jesus himself, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I have one last point to wrap up, and I'm all but done. See, I believe that we must be people who are pressing on. Key number four is this. We must have a heavenly inclination. Verse 14, Paul says this. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, we must incline ourselves heavenward. We must orientate ourselves toward heaven. We must always orientate ourselves towards Jesus. You know, we have to orientate ourselves away from setting camp and focus ourselves on the adventure ahead with Jesus. Life's greatest adventure, your best life, a life lived for Jesus. You know, in the spiritual life, direction makes all the difference, doesn't it? We understand things like, as a true believer, I'm not in heaven yet, but I'm going to do everything to make sure I take steps toward eternity. I'm not there yet, but I'm well on the way. Let me give you a quick story. In 1905, a young man from a wealthy family entered Yale University. His family intended that after completing his degree, he would enter a suitable career in America. But God gripped his heart with the needs of China, and he volunteered to go to that country with the gospel. Much to the dismay of his family and friends, he left America but never made it to China, succumbing to a disease before reaching that distant shore. After his death, a note was found in his Bible that summarized his life. It said this: no reserves, no retreats, no regrets. I wonder how many of us could say the same thing. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. I'm pressing on. Paul said this. He said, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm still climbing. I've not withdrawn. I've not given up. I've not settled at camp. Oh, I got to tell you, church, camp is so comfortable. Such a beautiful place to be. But Paul said himself, I've not given up. I've not settled at camp. I am pressing on. I believe that if Paul was here today, he would continue to say, I haven't made it yet, but I am still pressing on. Can I say graciously this morning as I close, it's not enough to start well, but we have to end well. And to end well, We must press on with life's greatest adventure, your best life, a life lived for Jesus. Are you with me this morning?